This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly sponsored by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. As a City supporter, we know you value delivery, and McDelivery is up there with the very best. You'll always be winning with McDelivery because just like Kevin De Bruyne, McDelivery puts your order right on a plate. So the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered as well. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for you tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Fury on one side, frenzy on the other. No, it isn't you and your partner's bed after yet another spoiled Valentine's Day. It is, of course, the world of Manchester City. But much like some of those Valentine's Day plans, City's clean bill of health lasted just about 2 minutes, with yet more injuries causing problems for the Blues. It's Thursday, the 15th of February. I'm Amos Murphy.
I'm Adam Booker, and I'm trying to figure out how Amos got insights on my relationship.
I'm Joe Butterfield.
And this is a very flustered City Report podcast.
Comes here for Gundogan. It is a thrilling start for Manchester City. The fastest ever goal in an FA Cup final. 2023 is the City treble year. Champions of England. FA Cup winners. Champions of Europe. Manchester City are kings of Europe. Now they have their triple crown.
Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content and, of course, now relationship advice. I'm your host today, Amos Murphy. Joining me is Adam Booker and Joe Butterfield. Adam, I noticed on yesterday's show that you didn't say a wonderful happy Valentine's Day to our lovely listeners. So as the holy one out of the co-founding duo, I would like to extend my apologies. And yeah, happy Valentine's Day for yesterday, listeners. I hope your day was filled with love, unlike Adam's world, quite clearly.
It's just not a holiday I care about. I'm in a long-term committed relationship. We love each other very much, but she
allegedly,
a peek behind the curtain, we are recording this on Valentine's Day. She left for work a few hours ago. We did not
a few days ago.
This is not our work.
Just went to get cigarettes.
She left for work a few hours ago. We did not say happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I mean, each their own. I think, you know, it is what it is. Joe, let's speak football then, because as much as we'd love to lambast certain quote unquote holidays from the corporate and commercial world, I guess we will turn this into a football podcast. You and I obviously weren't on the Copenhagen recap from yesterday. If listeners, you are looking for a little bit more reaction, make sure you do go and listen to that episode. But what did you make of the fixture? Because I mean, the scoreline obviously was good for City in the end. They were, for my money anyway, worthy of that 3-1 victory. I think a 2-1 victory would have been absolutely sound, even a draw, you know, as Adam mentioned. But at the same time, you know, there were a few frailties, I guess, is the best way of describing them, even though they were minimal. So yeah, it was an interesting game. City obviously running out winners, but plenty to speak about from it.
Yeah, I think it would have been a real shame, I think, if it ended 2-1. I don't think that's anything to do with, like you've mentioned, if we had gone in with a draw, I would still back us to go through the competition anyway, because, you know, Copenhagen at home at the Etihad should really not be a problem. I think it's more, from my point of view, it's more the idea of when the second leg is placed. It's obviously coming between the Manchester United fixture and playing at Anfield. So I would really like the game that comes between those two midweek to just be a very easy cut and dry, like put your B team out, like don't worry about playing the first team, having something to play for kind of game. So for me, going in two goals ahead instead of one goal ahead sort of gives you that extra bit of cushion. I think in terms of the game itself, we showed, it's a shame that we only really showed the level that we did in the first 20 minutes in sort of like bits and bats throughout the game. Like if we'd have, I feel like if Jack Grealish hadn't gone off injured, and this might be something that we come to discuss a little bit more in terms of who replaced him, but I think if Jack Grealish stays on the pitch, like that's very much, I think last night proves that that is what Pep sees as like his big European tie, or his sort of his big game kind of front three.
And it's
a bit of a shame that he went off with an injury, and hopefully it's not something that's going to keep him out for too long, because I would really like to have a player like Grealish in the team for, say, an Anfield, for example. And I think it just comes down to, the it was a professional job. We got it done. We scored some brilliant goals. And it's, you know, first leg of the round of 16, coming away 3-1 winners. There would have been a time, like even not that long ago, even just over a decade ago, we'd have bitten anyone's hand off for that kind of thing. And now it feels like it's just a foregone conclusion, which sort of shows the level that we're at.
Yeah, obviously it bucks a trend of City drawing their away matches in the Champions League last season, which was obviously the only time they went on to win the competition. So maybe that's a bad omen. Maybe we need to go back to not winning fixtures to end up winning the competition. Adam, what I mean, you obviously shared your opinions yesterday, but just in terms of that, having let the dust settle, you recorded that episode immediately post-match. This is now, 24, 48 hours onwards. Do you think the performance was good enough? City obviously dominated, but when you consider the fact that they were coming up against a Copenhagen team who hadn't played since the last Champions League fixture they had back in December, you would expect City to win by two or three goals. Maybe they could have got a couple more, and there were still shaky parts in there, like we spoke about in the preview show, how much that is attributed to Jack Grealish going off. Opinion is divided, but at the same time, the Edison mistake, it is what it is with Edison, I feel like. But even still, I reckon Ruben Diaz maybe could have done a little bit better to get himself in a better position. Just this sort of shakiness that we've seen throughout the season, and we're at that time now where you can't really see it anymore. It almost needs to be starting to disappear, and I'm not quite sure if it is.
Yeah, it's not yet. I think the performance was good enough in the sense that without this kind of Ederson howler, you probably win the game 3-0. Copenhagen had a few chances here and there, but they weren't necessarily clear-cut opportunities that you would say they should have converted. So, plus going the other way, Haaland had one or two chances where, he puts his header one or two inches to the right or left, and it's not right into the keeper's arms. So I don't have too many complaints, and on the Ederson point, I basically put out a tweet saying like, well, this is part of Ederson. This is part of any Pep goalkeeper.
Yeah.
They are told to make these passes. Obviously he mishit it and it was maybe a little bit lazy, whatever. It doesn't come off right. But this is part of having a goalkeeper that is essentially, another outfield player that's going to be that crucial a part of the buildup. I said something along the lines of, you got to take these rare bad moments with all of the good moments that he'll give you. And people were trying to kind of pick holes in that. But look, I saw a stat from Squawka, I think it was, that this was only the second time in like 3 years that an Ederson mistake has directly led to a goal in the Premier League or the Champions League. Just the second time.
Wow.
So, yes, he does have these moments of, he has these brain farts where he'll come flying out of the goal and things can look a bit helter-skelter, but rarely do they actually lead to City conceding any goals. And if you look the other way at what he gives you with the ball at his feet, everything about Ederson is a net positive. It just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree, and I said something similar on Twitter. But Joe, as is my role as host of this illustrious podcast, I guess I will have to sort of play the other side. And I think it's fair to say that maybe Ederson in I don't even know a sort of timestamp on it, because he's made some wonderful saves and he's kept City in matches. But there have been a few brain farts, haven't there, in the last, I don't know, maybe month or so, a few times where he hasn't necessarily looked all that composed. Mainly it's sort of been when he's coming out of sort of sweeping a little bit. There's a few times he's been caught out of position. So do you still think Edison is the reliable goalkeeper between the sticks for Manchester City? Or is this, you know, after that amazing run in the Champions League last year where he looked like Lev Yashin reincarnated, is there now a worry that perhaps it's going back to how it had been before? Every now and then there would be one of these moments where he'd have to be bailed out by his teammates, or at worst, the opposition score.
I don't think, I find it mad that it's even a conversation that anyone's having, to be honest. I think the idea that, you know, as Adam's just said there, like, it's just a case of we gave away one pass, and because of the nature of a goalkeeper, if you just misplace a pass, which when you make hundreds of passes out from the back, maybe even thousands over the 3 or 4 years that it's been, one or two are going to be misplaced. And unfortunately, because of the position and the pitch that you're in, that is going to lead to a very good goal scoring opportunity for the opposition. But I think we'd all happily take one or two of those. Well, maybe we obviously wouldn't, if it, otherwise Twitter wouldn't be talking about it. But, you know, we take one or two of those for the sake of what it gives you going the other way. Like the passing that he does out from the back. I was at the Everton game on Saturday, and just some of the passes that he was doing just like over their front line. And granted, it was very rare that Everton's front line did try to actually genuinely press the back four. But every time they did, like, Edison would just calmly pass it over them, pass it round defenders. I mean, for the rest of the Copenhagen game, he was putting it wherever he wanted it to, like, other than that one moment. Like, I think it's just, I don't know. I think because in recent games, it's becoming, that horrible stat is coming back round again, isn't it? That was sort of, that felt like a very typical City thing at Pep's early years, where we concede the first shot on target basically every single time. And I think a lot of people, very lazy people, just sort of going, well, that must be something to do with the goalkeeper then. And it's like, well, it's not really. Like, if you look at the entire back four, it's I don't know what it is this season, whether it's maybe just a change the way that we play, whether it's something to do with some of the defensive work rate of players in front. I don't know what it is, but
it's also the nature of the way that City play. With they play a risky style of football, and the chances that they give up are naturally going to be higher percentage chances than a team that's going to sit in a low block and plug up a bunch of space. The way that City play naturally leaves a bunch of space. So when you play against decent teams, which is probably 18 out of the 20 in the Premier League, they'll punish you when you give them space and time to shoot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's all it comes down to. Like, I think it's just a case of when you see first shot on target, first shot on target, first shot on target. I mean, the Copenhagen game was exactly the same. One shot on target, one conceded. Like, some people just look at that. You're more sort of maybe old school football fan will just look at that and go, oh, well, keepers, something's wrong with the keeper then. Keeper needs to change. And it's like, well, no, it's not that simple. And I think it's just, anyone who's questioned Edison for me is, it wasn't a great, like, don't get me wrong, his mistake last night wasn't great. Or his mistake against Copenhagen wasn't fantastic. It did look a little bit lazy, and maybe it could have been prevented. But I'll take that happening once every night. I'll take it in a game against Copenhagen rather than Anfield, for example. If that happens at Anfield, I'm much more angry on this podcast, by the way. But I think because it happened there and then, I'm not too fussed.
Speaking of Anfield, this isn't an Ederson issue. This is a football issue, because this is the way football is played now. Basically, every professional team plays out of the back, and therefore we see these mistakes happen. Allison does it once a game. Speaking of Anfield, he gave the ball away like four times, and all four of them led to goals back in the COVID season when City won there. So it's not just an Ederson issue. It's not that you can just find a better keeper who's not going to give the ball away when playing out of the back. It doesn't matter who you stick in there. It's the nature of that system of play.
And I echo those thoughts. I'd rather it be in this Copenhagen game, and he sort of fixes up heading into any of the next, I'd say 15, even longer than that, whenever the sort of season goes on for. This is probably the most dispensable of fixtures, because City could have lost that 2-0 and you'd probably still bet on them going through. I guess one aspect that could define City's success chances this season is obviously the blow to Jack Grealish. And Adam, you went through what Guardiola had said yesterday in terms of the initial assessment, there has been no update on that. We are waiting to see if it's going to be a 2-week layoff, if it's going to be a 1-month layoff. Joe, I'll throw it to you first, because obviously, Adam, you shared your thoughts, but as has always been the case, it seems like on this show we like to decide the agenda and decide the conversation, but there has been some sort of mixed response to Jack Grealish going down injured. And there seems to be, as always with Jack Grealish, two camps in here. It's the fact that him going down injured and him potentially being out isn't a big deal. And it's, on the other hand, him going out is going to be detrimental to City's chances of success. Personally, I fall into the second half of that in terms of it's a major blow for City. And it would be remiss of us to say that City are now not going to win anything this season because Jack Grealish might have a lengthy spell on the sidelines. That's obviously, not the case. But at the same time, you see how fluid and you see how controlled and you see how almost relentless City's attack was in that first 20 minutes. And again, the asterisk is Copenhagen hadn't played a game for the best part of 3 months. You'd expect City to go there and dominate. But at the same time, the professional footballers, it is what it is. It's a Champions League knockout tie. I've just got fingers crossed that it isn't lengthy, because we speak about the run coming up. It is monstrous. And even if Jack Grealish isn't starting every game, he's going to have a part to play. And without him, City are a worse team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not so much about last night, because I think, last night was a game where Jack Grealish can miss that and will still win. But I think we've got some pretty, like you say, this run coming up from the United game onwards, where I think, is it United, Liverpool, Brighton and Arsenal, and then maybe Villa after that, or some combination of those games anyway.
FA Cup's in there as well, and Champions League quarterfinal, fingers crossed.
Yeah, and if you're looking at playing against teams that are going to hit us on the transition, which really sounds like pretty much all of those teams, I just think Jack Grealish is a player who you need to have on the pitch in those kind of games. A lot of people look at what he does and maybe think that it's a bit of boring, safe, backward passing, and don't get me wrong, for a long time I was kind of in that camp as well. I used to just think, what's the point of doing all the work to get to the point where you're at the opposition penalty area if you're just going to hit it backwards or sideways? I completely understand that line of thinking to a degree, but when you see what is basically the alternative in the way that it is now with Doku, and don't get me wrong, Doku is, for someone who's playing their first season for a Pep Guardiola Manchester City side, doing, relatively speaking, very well. However, what he does not give you in any sort of way, shape or form is control. And in those big games where we want to be sort of not giving the opposition any sort of opportunity to... We saw it in the Chelsea and Spurs games where we completely gave up control and we conceded 7 goals in those 2 games because they're 2 teams that wanted to hit us on the counter. And in both those games, we had a player going the other way who had very little eye on ball retention and just wanted to beat a man and get a ball into the box from the byline. And that can be great against some teams, but against teams that are well organized and then want to just hit you on the counter-attack immediately, which United, Liverpool, Brighton, Villa, possibly Arsenal as well, like those are teams that are going to exploit those opportunities that you give them. Jack Grealish, to me, is just crucial to make sure that we don't give up those chances. So I'm really hoping that his injury is shorter rather than a longer layoff, because honestly, if it's a longer layoff, I kind of worry about who we are going to play in that front three. I suspect that Grealish will that Pep will just pick Doku in those games anyway, and we'll just roll the dice on that and see what happens. But yeah, if Grealish is fit in any way, then I think he has to play the bulk of those games, but I'm not really too confident that will be the case.
Yeah, Doku doesn't strike me as an away from home big game player. I think back to the Allianz Arena last year or the Bernabeu, and I think Guardiola spoke about it, maybe his first ever interview in England, and he said the turnovers are so important and making sure that when you lose the ball, you don't concede a chance. And they're the sort of teams who will punish you in the Champions League. As we saw, a slight slip up against the poor Copenhagen team, and it was 1-1 with Edison's mistake against Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Arsenal, whoever it's going to be. That could be much worse. Adam, I guess I'll chuck the last word to you in terms of this fixture before we move on. Tomorrow, we'll switch attention to Chelsea, because again, plenty to speak about there. A certain Cole Palmer, notwithstanding, but anything else that you want to add? Special shout out Nathan Ake. I think he's slowly but surely becoming one of City's most dependable defenders, maybe in that category with Ruben Diaz and John Stones. After John Stones' fitness this season, maybe he's even above him. Who knows? But yeah, it was decent. Room for improvement, which seems to be the theme of the last sort of couple of weeks with Man City.
Yeah, I mean, on Nathan Ake, I remember you and I, when it was just you and I doing the podcast, it was the Atletico...
The halcyon days.
Yes, the Atletico Madrid tie in the Champions League quarterfinal, the 21-22 season.
21-22,
And that was when Ake first kind of debuted as a left back, because I think Zinchenko was potentially injured and there was just no other options. I think basically from that day forward, he's been City's most consistent and dependable defender. And I actually don't think it's close. He's not really had ups and downs. Ruben Diaz has had his ups and downs. John Stones, because of injuries, has had his ups and downs. Akanji's been pretty damn dependable since day one, to be fair to him. Kyle Walker's obviously had his ups and downs and spinning in circles as well. So
I tried to get through that joke with a straight face.
I didn't even block.
Oh, God.
But yeah, just bigger picture. I'm a little bit torn on whether or not 3-1 is enough for you to just throw out, you know, Mateus Nunes and players like that to go full rotation in that second leg. But it definitely is enough of a cushion that if you get a goal in the first half of the second leg, by halftime you can send Oscar Bob and Micah Hamilton and Brandon the Kitman on if you want. So I think it's job done at this point. Not the tie in general. I'm not gonna say it's done when there's 90 minutes yet to play. But I think as far as what you needed to do to set yourself up for the second leg, we can't really have too many complaints.
Yeah, quite a Mark Goldbridge take there, I thought, at first. Tie done, nobody turn up. That'll be wonderful footage after Copenhagen come and win, I don't know, 3-0 in the second leg. But yeah, that'll do for part one. Hopefully that is it for the tie. We'll have to wait and see in March the 6th, I think it is. We have to wait for the second leg. But stay where you are, listeners, in part two, in True City Report podcast fashion. We'll have a little bit of trivia to get you ready for the weekend.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The Etihad Stadium really is wonderful at this time of the season, and the same goes for McDelivery. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome back to the City Report podcast, your home for daily Manchester City content. I would like, if you haven't already, to point you towards the follow button on your podcast feed. It's the best way to get our episodes straight to you when they come out, and notifications as well if you haven't got them switched on already. Right, okay, Quizmaster Adam, you're back in your favourite chair, the world famous Who Am I coming up. What have you got installed for us this afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you're watching it from?
Yes, this is another edition of the famous game inspired by my seemingly never-ending identity crisis, Who Am I? Very simple, listeners, if you don't know, this is a game in which I have a City player, past or present, in mind, and I have a list of clues about that player in front of me. I'm going to reveal these clues one by one until either Amos or Joe or you at home can figure out who the player is. Joe, please pick a nation.
Bosnia and Herzegovina. I can't get that wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. Amos, pick a nation.
I will go for their close neighbours, Croatia.
All right. Please allow me to finish the entirety of the clue before you shout out your nation to have a guess at the player. All right, here we go with who am I? Who am I? I retired from football in 2022.
Hrvatska.
What'd you just say?
Hrvatska, Croatia in Croatian, I think.
Croatia?
Sergio Aguero.
I'm so glad it wasn't that obvious.
I know. All right. Well, I had to do it.
Croatia is now frozen out from the next clue. So, Joe, you have a chance to steal here if you want to. So, I retired in 2022. I scored just 2 Premier League goals in 53 appearances for City.
Not Aguero, then, is it?
It is not Aguero.
How many appearances was it, sorry?
53 Premier League appearances, just 2 goals in those appearances.
No, I've got nothing.
All right, clue number 3. I won the under-19 European Championships with my country in 2006.
Amos is making notes here for the listeners. He's actually writing these clues down.
I've got a notepad down. I think I am the reigning belt holder in this game. So I've got a championship belt to protect against worthy opposition as well, I will say.
All right, next clue. I scored on my City debut, heading home a Carlos Tevez free kick away to Stoke City.
Bosnia and Herzegovina? Is it Javi Garcia?
Bastard.
There we go, bastard.
Bastard. Wow.
Great job, Joe. Great job. It is Javi Garcia. Just a quick mention on him. He would fit into the current... the current iteration of City and their handsome men FC, wouldn't he?
He would. He absolutely
well, I,
would.
I thought you were going to say he'd fit in as a player. And I think he'd be that sort of player under Pep Guardiola who maybe like a Nathan Ake, who, you know, a little bit unassuming, maybe not the most technically gifted, but would have probably suited the system. But yes, he would have also fit into the good-looking Iberian male cohort that is seems to be growing.
This opens up a more general discussion. Are footballers just better looking these days because they care more about their appearance on social media and stuff like
they're
that?
They're all prime athletes, whereas back in the 90s and the 80s they were all just, you know, they were out drinking multiple times a week and
John Flanagan exists.
If being out drinking multiple times a week rules you out from
Jack Grealish would be an ugly man, wouldn't he?
True.
I think it's the mean level of attractiveness of a Premier League footballer today is no doubt higher than it was 10, 15, 20 years. Well, probably going like 20, 30 years ago, surely, because they're all, you know, they've all got nutritionists. They're all looking after themselves. They've all got Instagram followers to worry about.
I would guess that like Richard Dunn and David James didn't have a model, a screen with a model of their teeth that they have to hit while brushing, like Ruben Diaz does.
How rude to Richard Dunn! That he is the archetypal male. Have you seen that? All sorts fawning over him.
If you put let's put it into perspective, if you put the Manchester United treble winning team versus City's treble winning team. there's not a chance that anyone in that United dressing room, apart from maybe Beckham, is on the level of half of our squad.
Yeah, you know how on like football Twitter they will do the they'll post videos of the camera going across the team during like the Champions League anthem, and they'll be like, oh, the aura of this team. I'm actually just sitting there, and be like, oh. he's handsome.
Are you saying Yapstam can't hold up to Ruben Diaz's looks? Because that's a bold claim.
I'm willing to make that claim.
Here's a question. Which City footballer of the past, if they were in their mid-20s and playing for City today, would be like Ruben Diaz online, posting shirtless pictures, underwear ads, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, God. Jovetic.
And I'm going to say like Mancini or later.
Yeah, Jovetic was doing it every single day. Like he never had a shirt on his Instagram. I remember that from his time at the club.
Yeah, okay. He was like peak early noughties sort of fuckboy MSN.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, he had them vibes. That's a good question. Maybe
we'll leave that one to the listeners.
Yeah, maybe your hypothesis at the start that you know they do care about themselves more now. Maybe that rings true because it's hard to picture.
If you can think of somebody, a past City player who would be like Ruben Diaz on Instagram these days, let us know at City Report Pod on all social media. But we will wrap up there today. Before we get out of here, if you are new here, please hit follow, hit subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, unless it is a shit one. That is the best way for us to get this show out to more blues like you. Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Amos, I don't get to say this very often, but thank you very much.
Do vidjenja.
All right. And on that note, listeners, until next time, see you later.
Make sure you're geared up for Man City's end of season run-in with McDelivery. Great food delivered right to your door. By using McDelivery, you won't miss a moment of City's crucial run-in, and just like Kevin De Bruyne, they deliver your order exactly where you want it. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants only, 18 and plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.